Hey, Chris Manning here from Lockdown Cavs. Coming up on today's show, Eben and I are going to do our versions of awards with Defensive Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year, and Most Improved Player of the Year in this first edition. We'll do the other half, including our own kind of one, because Coach of the Year is kind of redundant on a team that had two coaches, but probably should have only had one if they'd just been competent. But we're going to start with the Rookie of the Year at the top, so let's hop into it.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Cleveland Cavaliers select Darius Garland from Vanderbilt University.
My. It's called the Kevin Love Show.
Kyrie Irving, he's gone. Xbox at him today at the Q.
On the blow block.
He put him in cement boots, Colin Sexton for two.
Evan, how's it going, buddy?
Well, not too bad. We're recording some episodes in rapid succession, so not a lot's changed since we last spoke about this, but I'm good. How are you?
Good. You know, I hope nothing changed, because if something did change, one of us would be like leaking out to like the Chase Down folks about our issues.
I ain't no snitch, so
neither. I would not call the line.
Oh, I'm glad you wouldn't. Sorry. Only on Justin.
Yeah, I'll call it on Justin. Sorry. But let's talk about awards. Let's start with Rookie of the Year. We're going to do again, if you didn't hear earlier in the week, if you're just tuning in to this episode this week or first-time listener, we're going to do our awards, and we're going to do them nationally and then Cavs only. Rookie of the Year, Evan, I got to say, especially because the NBA announced it, that like it's only because of what happened pre-bubble. If Ja Morant does not win Rookie of the Year, I'm calling absolute bullshit.
Oh no, I am too. That's my pick. It's Ja.
No other vote.
No, I mean, no, there really hasn't, because it's just been such a lackluster rookie class overall. It's been the Ja and Zion show, and I mean Zion has been very, very, very good for New Orleans when he finally came back at full health for them, but it's a little bit. It's just a case of too little, too late. Like, Ja's consistently been great for the Grizzlies and is the guy for them and the reason why they are in the playoff hunt and going to Disney to play in the bubble situation.
He's the engine of that team. Like Zion ultimately likely, you know, odds on would be the best player from this class. Like I don't think that's untrue.
Jealous of the Grizzlies situation, man.
Yeah,
A good one.
Yeah, but if you look at Ja, obviously I think Jaren Jackson Jr. is great. Brandon Clark is a great draft pick. D'Anthony Melton is a really, really good player. And if, like, in another world where the Cavs had some more free agency money, I would be throwing a crazy restricted offer at him, because he'd be a really good fit with what the Cavs have. Like, I really like D'Anthony Melton. Really cool guy to talk to as well. But there's no actual pick other than him for this pick. Like, there's just no other rookie that, like, you know, Kendrick Nunn obviously had a good year, and
Kendrick Nunn, maybe Tyler Herro if you really want to read deep into that, Brandon Clark if you want to be like a nuanced, like, nerdy basketball Twitter take, like,
yeah, and then you have Zion obviously and stuff, but like there is no one that I think comes close to the impact of Ja Morant.
No, Ja has been the difference maker for the Grizzlies, and again, it is absolutely wild how quickly Memphis has pivoted from Mike Conley and Marc Gasol as the headline players for Memphis to Ja Morant, and I guess maybe Jaren Jackson Jr., but all that young talent they have.
Well, Jaren Jackson Jr. is, like, special in his own way, but he's just, Ja's, like, the human highlight reel, like they're, like, I'm a little, like, out on the missed dunks being a thing, but I appreciate the audacity of Ja Morant.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the audacity, and he's just a fun player. I saw him in person when they came to Cleveland. Like, he was just a lot of fun to watch and commit. I mean, to be fair, Darius Garland locked his ass up, if you really want to think about it, because Darius outperformed Ja in that showdown in Cleveland. But either way, it was a fun matchup, and I think I was talking to a friend of the pod who we recorded the other day about this. I'm like, it's really nice to think that the NBA is in such a good place in terms of the older heads like LeBron, kind of moving on, and then like Durant is there as well, but then you have like Giannis is carrying the mantle, but then like there's so many good young players on teams like Memphis and hopefully Cleveland in the future and other like teams that aren't making the playoffs right now. Like, the NBA is in such a good place, and Ja is a huge reason on why it's in such a good place.
Yeah. Who is your Cavs pick?
Kevin Porter Jr. He's arguably, without a doubt, Cleveland's best rookie, arguably their best young player not named Colin Sexton, and based on the conversations I have with people in the organization, because I've got them back on the phone, they view him as the quote-unquote face of the franchise going forward, where like they're going to start maybe building around him and figuring out where the Cavs are at when Kevin Porter Jr.'s game starts to round out. Like, that's just who my pick is, and really just lucky circumstances, because we never really would be giving him this award if Dylan Windler unfortunately didn't get hurt, because I don't think Porter would have played if Windler was healthy.
Yeah, it's a tough what if to think about. He's my pick as well. Look, I think Darius has had, there's some really bright stuff about his rookie season. I'm a little like, I want to just slightly pump the brakes on the KPJ thing, because despite him being really encouraging, he's 19, commits a shit ton of fouls. Mm-hmm. The advanced numbers, and yes, bad team and everything, but like, he's in the bottom four on the team in value over replacement. It's not like he, like with Ja, it's like he comes in and he has a really high value, like he's like a full point better in VORP, better than Sexton. Like the Porter stuff, there's just some rounding out of his game that needs to be done, and there's needs to be like a leap in the next couple of years and some refinement of his game, I think, to get where the key potentially could get. There's a reason the Cavs had him like rated so highly on their board in the draft, and why I think, you know, in a different world where like the USC stuff doesn't happen and everything, like he's probably drafted a little bit higher.
Yeah.
But I think just with his year, just beat the highs were just like the high, like Darius had some highs. And his passing, mm-hmm. for one, was, I thought, better than I would have thought it would have been. The vision was better. It's not great, yeah, but like better. Porter had the highest highs of any Cavs rookie this year, and it's obviously, mm-hmm. like him. It's like Dean Wade, Darius Garland, and Porter Jr. Wade played a total of 71 minutes for the Cavs. He's out. Garland played about 700 more minutes than Porter Jr., but when I think about the brightest moments of a Cavs rookie this year, it's probably the KPJ game against the Heat, mm-hmm. more than anything Darius did.
That was a lot of fun, and we talked about De'Anthony Melton before. Isn't it kind of funny that shooting guards or wing players that come out of USC are criminally underrated
and have like issues at USC,
which kind of seem overblown, because De'Anthony Melton, from all accounts, from what I heard, is a 10 out of 10 kind of guy, and Kevin Porter is beloved by the Cavs organization, and I've heard that USC situation was overblown and might have some racist connotations from it. I'm not going to speculate too much, but that's just, it's what I've heard. But no, Kevin Porter is Cleveland's best rookie. Darius Garland, like you and I have talked about, and much to the chagrin of people who listen to this show who might get annoyed with us defending Darius Garland, he's shown flashes of potential, and we're willing to give him a DNC grade on his rookie season because we haven't seen him put it all together yet just in terms of health. So that definitely holds Darius back from getting the top rookie award. And no, Kevin Porter's made the most of a situation in Cleveland that kind of just happened to fall into his lap, and has kind of definitely shifted the conversation in terms of the rebuild, where a lot of people I've spoken to, when it comes at least to this year's draft class, like, I know Kevin Porter would be the first overall, second overall pick, just of how well, based on how well he's played in his first season.
If I were to ask you to make a pitch for, mm-hmm. Darius as Cavs rookie of the year, what would it be?
Zion was hurt too. The problem.
Like, if you're saying, okay, Darius
just Cavs rookie of the year, I was thinking of the grand scheme. I'm like, there's no way I can pitch him over Ja in good faith.
I'm not smoking. Yeah. I'm not. No.
You're not smoking that Justin Rowan Canadian grass. I got you. Justin's a saint.
Yeah. Love Justin.
My pitch for Darius being the top rookie is the fact that Kevin Porter had plenty of highs, and he did have the highest of highs, but he did have some low moments as well, where Darius, again, you just see the flashes of potential and make sense as the Cavs point guard of the future. It's tough to make a pitch, though, for him, because Darius has had so many low moments as well where I'm like, man, this sucks to watch. But it's just based on the potential where you say, like, okay, well, he could be the third or fourth best player in the draft class based on how players like DeAndre Hunter pan out and everything else. Like, I mean, it's clearly always going to be Zion. It's always going to be Ja, like those two battling for first overall. But maybe, just maybe, Darius has shown the potential to be like the third or fourth best player in this draft class. But who knows?
Here's what I would just say the case would be. If you're going to try and make it, here's, I think, the argument you can make. Porter Jr. is a little more efficient as a scorer, but it's not like worlds different in terms of their assist. And I think the biggest way that Darius made an impact, which speaks to more of the Cavs than it does to him, so this kind of hurts his candidacy in my mind. Mm-hmm. He's second on the team in assist percentage. This is the top five. Dele is one. Darius is two. Brandon Knight is three. Jordan Clarkson is four. Kevin Love is five. Evan, give me a guess on how many percentage points Darius is behind Dele in assist percentage.
Is it in the double digits or is it single digits?
Just give me a guess.
11%.
It's 10.5.
Okay, so I was close. I was selling low.
Yeah, Dele's at 29%. Darius is at 18.5.
Goodness gracious. That's, I guess... If you're Matthew Dellavedova's agent, there's your pitch on what the Cavs.
Yeah, literally, in my head, I read that, and we were talking. I'm like, there's a blog post.
Yeah.
Look, I there's some highs to Darius that I think
there is.
It's there, but Porter's highs were just a lot higher without. And a quick note here: the defensive side of Porter Jr. Even though like he commits a lot of fouls and like did some crazy stuff, better stuff for him than Darius.
Yeah, it's just I like. If I had to place a firm bet on who would be the better player 5 years from now on Cleveland's roster, I'd feel safer putting my money on Kevin Porter than I would Darius Garland at the moment. But
yeah,
I could be swayed on it.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take a quick break here. Come back. Talk about most improved. Right after. All right, Evan, most improved player in the NBA. Who is your actual team pick or actual NBA broad pick?
See, this was tough because I thought Brandon Ingram was really, really good for the Pelicans this year, but the right pick in my mind is just Bam Adebayo. He has grown so much into being one of, if not the best for the Miami Heat, players for the Miami Heat, and the Heat are in such a good position with him and Jimmy Butler and just all that free agency cap space that they're going to have to maybe lure Giannis or maybe lure a bunch of other nice complimentary star players as well. But Bam is the future for the Heat. I like a lot of what he brings to the table, and he's why I'm so enamored with Onyeka Okongwu coming out of USC, because Bam would be so much fun. I know they have Tristan Thompson, but having Bam would be so much fun for the Cavs.
My pick is Luka Doncic.
That feels like such a lazy pick.
I don't care. Like, here's his jump from year one to year two. Points, 21.2 to 28.7.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Effective field goal percentage went from 49.7 to 53.1. Two-point percentage went up 7.1%.
Should have been okay. The Cavaliers, well, we know.
Okay. Shot 46.1% from the field this year after shooting 42.7 last year. Is literally the hub of an offense that is near the top of the league, of a team that if you look at its net rating is just vastly underperforming. And I don't know how true that is and everything like that. Bam is like a really good case. It's like a really, really strong case. And I think he was like my initial pick and just my instant reaction. So maybe I'm wrong here. But Luka doing what he's doing at age 20 and the burden he's carrying, all that stuff, it's incredible. Like, Bam is great. Luka is the kind of guy you could like win a title with as your best offensive creator. That is just not what Bam mm-hmm. is, and that the fact that Luka is doing this is just like, it's unreal that he's this good at age 20. And I sometimes don't think we talk about it enough, but he's incredible. Oh,
so good.
Luka is the pick. Like, if you're talking about non-LeBron like finals performance that I've had the most fun seeing the last couple years, the game I think it might have been his rookie year where Luka played in front of a big Slovenian crowd in Cleveland. It's the most electric performance I've seen in a game in years. And Luka's incredible. Luka has to be the pick.
It bums me out because I still think of the fact that LeBron threw that game against the Nets, which in turn had implications on the Cavs, on Brooklyn's behalf, winning the coin flip that would have gotten them the third overall pick in the draft, which would have been Luka. Just what could have been? What could have been if Luka Doncic was in Cleveland? Like, we'd be talking about the Cavs as the trendy new fun team, and LeBron would have stayed and all this other stuff. I just wish I could wake up in the timeline where Donald Trump wasn't president, Luka Doncic was a Cavalier, and LeBron stayed, but that's a story for another day. But yeah, I can get why you made the pick, but I feel like it's also just the lazy pick, in my opinion, because it's the obvious one, and I don't
sometimes
know.
Sometimes the obvious one, you don't overthink it. Bam's a really good pick. Brandon Ingram, I think, is a defensible pick. Jason Tatum's probably a defensible pick.
Jason Tatum, until he shaves those ugly-ass sideburns of his, isn't my pick. But no, Jason Tatum's a baller, especially with how much he's grown defensively as well. Like, again, to reiterate my point from last segment, look at all these young players that Chris and I, you could make a case for a most improved player. Like, the NBA is in such a good place in terms of young talent. And yeah, no, Luka's a lot of fun. And them getting the Mavericks stealing Porzingis from the Knicks just to compliment Luka is such a genius move. And I'm interested to see, especially with Rick Carlisle coaching them as well, I'm interested to see where the Mavericks go next here. But yeah, no, Luka is a championship difference maker caliber player, and like I said, he's the guy for the Mavericks, where he raised their floor so much they're a playoff team much faster, sooner than they anticipated, and that's what Cleveland's searching for right now.
Who is your Cavs only most improved player pick?
Oh, it's Colin Sexton. He has surpassed all of my expectations as the 8th overall pick in a kind of weak draft class after where, especially where Cleveland was picking. Definitely excited to see where Sexton goes next. He could be the sixth man for this team. He could be the starting point guard. I'm not going to put a cap on where he's at. And it's the fact that he just works his butt off all the time to constantly improve and hone his craft. And if Sexton can tap into his ridiculous wingspan and have like a modicum of defense comparable to Eric Bledsoe, like, oh my God, the Cavs would have such a good player on their hands. And that's his next improvement, is defensively. But like offensively, his game is so well-rounded at this point.
Yeah, I think it's Sexton as well. I think just the efficiency as a scorer, just kind of his ability to handle that in year two, and just being a more level and kind of more consistent, I think is pretty notable. It's not like an easy thing to do, and I don't feel like I'd have to do another deep dive into him, and it's been a while since I've done that, frankly, but I don't feel as if there's anything he particularly like besides just creation for others. I don't feel like he necessarily like hit a significant wall in anything. Like, you know, some of his, like, his effective field goal percentage is up, his 2-point percentage is up, his 3-point shooting percentage is a little bit down, but still right under 40%. Like, there's a lot to like, just with the assists kind of and turnovers kind of remaining the same. So that's indicative of kind of where he's at. And I'll do some deeper dive, and maybe we can revisit this in a couple weeks. But I think for him, it's clearly him. I think the only other argument you could really make is probably Larry Nance Jr., but I don't even think, like, I think the Sexton case is just kind of the obvious one.
Yeah, it's the obvious pick, I think. Just, like I said, Collins just surpassed all my expectations for where he is and where he's going to be as a player, where it's kind of made me really reevaluate my internal thought process on how players pan out. And as cliche as it sounds, hard work does pay off, and Colin Sexton's a great example of that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Nance is the only candidate, right? I agree with that. I can't think of anyone else.
But I have a different award for Larry. I'm trying to keep it separate in every other way, just to like keep it fair for everybody else.
Oh, that's fair. All right, let's take one last break here. We'll come back for Defensive Player of the Year, league wide, and on the Cavs right after this. All right, Evan, Defensive Player of the Year. My pick for this award is Giannis Antetokounmpo. Mm-hmm. Incredible defender.
Yeah,
absolute monster on the end of the floor. Who's your pick?
My pick's Giannis as well. It's just Brook Lopez would be the trendy pick for the Bucks because he is such a huge difference maker for what they do defensively in terms of drop coverage and just daring teams to beat them by three-pointers. Budenholzer's defense is makes me nervous if they face like a good three-point shooting team or if like a team that gets hot, but it's worked for them. So, hey, Brook Lopez is key to that, but more so Giannis is just, he's an absolute monster. And it's weird to think that when they drafted him and they drafted Jabari, I believe the following year, Jabari Parker was viewed as the guy for the Bucks. And then knee injuries happened, and Giannis is another good example of a player who worked his ass off to improve his game and hone his craft as much as he can, and now look, he is arguably one of the best, if not the second or third best, depending on how you feel about LeBron and Kawhi, players in the NBA, and he's just, it's weird to think that there is such a complete player on, at least maybe not in three-point shooting, but like on both sides of the ball on Giannis, where he's just so dominant on both ends of the floor as well.
Yeah. He was a pretty, not like easy pick, but I think pretty obvious. I think like obviously Rudy Gobert deserves some consideration. I think Gobert's really good. And you,
Gobert's defense was so good that he shut down the league for a few months. I guess that's fair.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just going to breathe past that. Hope Rudy Gobert gets it sent to Smoback. I for one feel empathetic for my fellow humans. There's an argument for Anthony Davis too. I don't think it's as strong as Giannis is, but I think Giannis, like, no. For me, is like right there and just doing everything. I also think it's not as significant, and the Cavs suck on defense, so like giving someone this award is like,
oh, I got two picks.
Well, okay, so like giving, I just want to make a crappy analogy here. Giving someone an award for like the best defensive season on the Cavs is like, I don't even have anything good. It's like giving like the best acting performance in like Josh Whedon's Justice League, or like the lead, like the best award for acting in like the crappy Suicide Squad movie. There's just like not a lot of positives for me to work with here, you know. For the record, my Suicide Squad pick would be Ike Barinholtz in the prison. Shots to Ike Barinholtz. But who's your Cavs pick?
My Cavs pick is Tristan Thompson, with an honorable mention to Alphonso McKinney. What about you?
I appreciate you mentioning the McKinney thing, but I think it's Tristan. I just think the volume of the defense that he played, just like the amount of time he's on the floor, and him being the communicator, him being the kind of the guy trying the hardest all the time, like, is pretty clearly like why he's there. This is a guy that's fourth on the team in minutes per game for the year, in terms of his overall workload. He is fifth on the team in minutes, playing just a shade less than Kevin Love. Colin, obviously, is the workhorse on the team, played the most minutes on the team, with Jetty coming in at 2 and Darius at 3, and then Love at 4, Tristan 5, Nance at 6. I think Tristan has the best defensive plus-minus by a pretty wide gap. Last time I checked on this, he's like at 1.5, which is pretty decent. It's in the top 60 of the league, and then the next one person up in the Cavs is Delly, who's like 0.62 by that metric. So like, there's a pretty sizable gap. And look, again, this is like not giving, like, they're a bad defensive team, but Tristan's the one guy that I was like, oh, he knows what he's doing on defense every game this year.
Oh,
and that actually played minutes, because McKinney knows what he's doing, does not play nearly enough to make the impact Tristan does.
Well, to be fair to Alphonso, the coaching staff views him as the team's best perimeter defender, but overall, Tristan is the team's best defender. I mean, still not like an outstanding rim protector, sure, but to your point, the Cavs are just aren't a good defensive team to begin with, so like, this award is tough to give out, but there is the best defensive player on Cleveland's roster, and it's Tristan. Just in terms of just overall like rebounding, hustle, and I guess if you want to try and say that's a tangible stat or something, you can, it's more of an eye test kind of thing, but like, you can tell that Tristan is a difference maker defensively, and he just always has provided energy, always provided hustle, always provided just everything that you need for the Cavs, and it's going to be a shame to see him not be in a Cleveland uniform possibly next year, because the Cavs defense was bad, but it's going to get so much worse when Tristan Thompson's no longer on the roster. So that's a case to give him the award right there.
Yeah, like, if you replace the Drummond, like, Thompson's full minutes with Thompson, like, or Thompson's full minutes with Drummond, like, significantly worse defensive team, and the Cavs are a historically bad defensive team this year.
Which is saying something, because they were historically bad last year as well.
I think a lot about how the Cavs, like, talk about, like, wanting to show improvement next year, and I'm just like, this is going nowhere if their defense just remains, like, an absolute historical, disgusting thing.
They just gotta get as many defensive-minded prospects as possible, and then in the most Cleveland way for it to happen, none of them pan out, and then the Cavs still have an abysmal defense. That's where I see things going, at least. Like, they're going to get Aaron Gordon, they're going to get Jonathan Isaac somehow for the Magic, because they're a weirdly run team, and it's just not going to work, and then I'm going to be so sad because it's not going to work.
Is there anyone else you would have floated in this? Is there any other Cav that you would have been like, okay, like I see why you would value that guy as a defender, or at least like note him as like being decent on a bad team?
I'm laughing because it's Alphonso McKinney, I guess.
Well, yes,
that's how bad the Cavs are on defense.
I'll shout out two people. Matthew Dellavedova, because he communicates.
That's fair.
Deli is like truly the coach on the floor. I'll shout out three people. I'm going to be really nice here.
Oh, wow.
I think Jetty at least like has a pulse. I just think he's asked to do too much, but the numbers would indicate that he's like at least a little above average for his position, which is like an encouraging thing.
Yeah.
And I think a sign that he can at least be a rotation wing. And I just want to say, like, I think I would just shout out to Larry Nance Jr. You're welcome. My Tottenham Hotspur won over the weekend and helped you guys secure his Chelsea team. But Nance is at 0.62. Love soccer. Literally told you I couldn't record earlier on Sunday because of Tottenham. That's where my life is. But Larry Nance Jr., also positive in defensive plus minus. You know, comparable to, like, John Collins. So, like, in terms of that metric, so, you know, again, not another not good defensive team, but, like, a decent player, has some versatility. If the Cavs want to have, like, some switchability going forward, like, he's a reason why that can work, because he can step out on guys, and he doesn't have that quite peak Tristan ability to switch out on smaller guys, but he has the ability to do it when they need him to.
Yeah, he does, and Larry Nance is now a small forward, a power forward, and a setter going forward for the Cavs, so.
That's a whole other can of worms. We'll have to discuss that in, like, next year.
We'll see what happens, because it could get exposed, who knows. But yeah, no, Larry's a good pick as well. He has shown just that he's a competent player on both ends of the floor, and I think that's all really Cleveland needs right now is a high energy competent player, and Larry Nance fits that mold perfectly. Is a legacy player, so he kind of has that in his back pocket as well, but that's another conversation for another day.
Yes, but I do at least think he and Deli, despite not being like the Cavs do not have a single player that is capable of fixing your whole defense. At the very least, you know, Nance, I think, can at least contribute to a good defense if they can get there.
No, I agree.
Evan, I'm gonna ask you I'm gonna put you on the spot here, though. I have one last question I want to ask you. Let's say that one of the Cavs young players becomes if one of the Cavs current young players or a to be drafted player, I'll even give you that option, is going to become the best defender on the Cavs team in 3 to 5 years. Who is the player you would say is most likely that to become?
Kevin Porter Jr.
Okay.
That really wasn't that hard of a question, so.
No, I tend to agree. I think, you know, I don't know if like his ceiling is like best defender on a team, especially it's as the Jamie offensive Butler, load but continues. Go ahead. I think I don't think it's Sexton. That would be kind of the frame is there, but you know, I just don't know.
My hope for Colin is that he can just become passable on defense, and I think if you give me that, that's a fun player to work with. Like, I'm not expecting him to be Eric Bledsoe. That's like pie in the sky for me at this point.
Yeah, I think it's KPJ. The Cavs certainly tried to have him do stuff like that, but I don't necessarily believe that it's like a lock that would happen per se.
No, I agree.
Drafting for defense might be like a thing. Like, if depending on where they fall in the draft, like a Devin Vassell, like, could be kind of like a really nice fit in that sense. All right.
It'd be a lot of fun for the Cavs. A
lot of fun. All right. Let's take, that's going to be it for this show. We're going to come back with our next discussion on different awards on our next episode. Thanks again for listening. Get those book reports in to Professor Evan for later this week.
Not a single one yet.
Slackers. You have nothing going on. You're staying at home. The governor of Ohio is like, we could become the next Florida, and that's never a good thing. So
listen, he's got strong. Speaking of Florida, him just asking people to kindly please wear their masks was such strong Jeb Bush please clap energy. Like, so disappointed in Mike DeWine when he said that.
Extreme like Midwest, like, I don't want to argue with people energy.
Yeah, like, I want to be passive aggressive and just tell you to wear your mask, but I'm not going to directly tell you to wear your mask. So
yes, I'm not going to raise my voice. But with that, we'll talk to you guys soon.